Welcome everyone to this morning worship service here in Karatz today, and hello to others who'll be listening later on. Normally I do the announcements at the start of the service, but I'm going to be doing the announcements at the end of the service, so if you remember that the announcements are still to come. But as I said last week, I intended that at the start of the service or before the service begins, that I would indicate to the congregation what my intended response to the Ballylagan call is. 6 weeks ago today, I received a call from the Ballylagan congregation. I've been serving as interim moderator in Ballylagan for the past 18 months, and the past 6 weeks have been very difficult. The call put me in a position where I have been forced to make a choice, and I've been a wee bit envious of those who operate in Church of Ireland circles where the bishop tells them where to go and what to do. I haven't had anybody to tell me what to do. I've had to decide what I'm going to do, and it has been... It has been something that has taken its toll upon me. I have had very, very disturbed sleep, poor concentration, and I have been dealing with a mild degree of vertigo with a spinning head for the last couple of weeks. I was given 3 weeks to make my decision. I delayed making that decision for as long as possible to allow time for God to direct me one way or another through some act of his providence. Nothing significant has happened to direct my thoughts in any way, and so yesterday I made my decision. And today I can only say what the decision is that I intend to give at Presbytery tomorrow night, because that's when the decision is actually delivered. But my intention is to accept the call. I want to tell you why. There are three reasons that I'll give. There may really only be two reasons, but the first one is the first one is something that you cannot examine, that no one can examine. You could have your own view on the other things that I'll mention, but the first reason is that I have simply felt compelled of God to accept the call. And I could not call Jesus Christ my Lord and then not do what he lays upon my heart. That's the bottom line. Simply compelled of God. It's not been a matter of what I want, but I have decided the way God compelled me to decide. The two main things in coming to that decision, first of all, and this is the least important, is what I call the scriptural equality principle. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 14, Paul outlines a principle that applies among churches. He applies it to church finances. And he teaches that the abundance of one church was to supply the lack of another church, that there may be an equality. And I believe that that principle of equality across congregations should apply not only to finances, but to ministerial resources. I have served as minister of Kilrats for nearly 18 years. During that time, Ballylagan has been vacant twice. The meeting at which the call was presented and the two congregations were present was the 15th of May 2023. 17 years earlier, 15th of May 2006, Reverend Nigel Agnew was called to Creva. And during those 17 years, Ballylagan was vacant, first for 7 years and 3 months, and then presently for 1 year and 6 months. So the congregation of Ballylagan over those 17 years, 17 most recent years, was vacant for 8 years and 9 months. During that time, at least 5 calls were declined. During those 17 years, there has been no vacancy in Kilrats. And that was significant in my thinking. It is God's will that there may be an equality. The same kind of pattern is there over the lifetime of the two congregations of Ballylagan and Kilrats. In terms of calendar years, where in that year there was no minister in the congregations, there are 32 years when Ballylagan has had no minister throughout that calendar year. In Kilrats, in the lifetime of Kilrats, there have only been 4 years when there's been no minister. 2004 was very nearly another one, but I think Harry Coulter was here for the first few days of 2004. So the last year, the last calendar year when there was no minister in Kilrats for a whole calendar year was 1897. So that was a big factor in my thinking, a matter of equality. In politics, they talk about leveling up, and that's kind of the thrust of that. The more important factor was how God led me in my personal devotions. It's God who decrees what we're reading in the scriptures at particular times, and I just followed my pattern of scripture reading, and over the past 6 weeks I've had a page, and at one side it's anything that inclined me to accept the call, and on the other side it's anything that inclined me to decline the call. And on the go side, there were 8 different things, and on the stay side, there was only one. I'm not going to tell you what they all were, but I will mention the two that I believe were most significant in my own thinking. For our ministers' fraternal, most recent one, we were looking at a book on the life of Moses called The Crucible of Leadership. And part of that dealt with Exodus 3 and 4, where Moses is reluctant, very reluctant, to accept God's call to go and bring his people out of Egypt. And Moses had many reasons why he didn't think he was the man for the job. And in the end, Exodus 4:13, Moses says, "O Lord, please send someone else." And God used that in my thinking. That's exactly where I was. I saw so I saw myself in Moses. I really wanted Ballylagan to have a minister, but I wanted it to be someone else. But it was Moses that God was calling, and I had to accept that that was me that God was calling to. So there was Moses' words, "Oh Lord, please send someone else to do it." Moses had to do it. The other most significant thing in my scripture reading was from Luke chapter 9, verse 51. That is the verse that I stopped at when I was preaching through Luke. I deliberately stopped there, because that was the point in the ministry of the Lord Jesus, when he ceased to minister in Galilee and he was heading in a different direction to Jerusalem. He was heading to Jerusalem to suffer and die. And he knew what awaited him there. And it says, "Now it came to pass, when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem." One of the writers that I love to read in the Gospels is J.C. Ryle. And there was a comment that J.C. Ryle made in that verse, and it was as if it was a text message that had come to me from on high. This is what he says on Luke 9:51. He says, "Let us strive and pray that the same mind may be in us which was in our blessed Master. Like him, let us be willing to go anywhere, do anything, suffer anything, when the path of duty is clear and the voice of God calls. Let us set our faces steadfastly to our work when our work is plainly marked out, and drink our cups patiently when they come from a father's hand." And it was those words about when the path of duty is clear and the voice of God calls. And that is how it has been for me. So those are the reasons why I intend to accept the call. I am not going because I want to leave. Recent events in Karatz have given me every incentive to stay. The call presentation meeting was a real encouragement to me. And I want to say to the folk who spoke at that meeting, that if I had based my decision on that event alone, I would have stayed. The joy of seeing six people very recently come into membership would have encouraged me to stay. The friendship group that is about to be launched, the women's fellowship that is beginning a new era, and Wednesday night's meeting where 80 people or so gathered in the church hall for the midweek meeting at which Reverend Gary Glasgow spoke. These things give me every encouragement to stay. I also want to say that I'm not going because I think Ballylagan will be an easier option than Kilrats. I don't think that that is the case. I want to express my gratitude for my time here. I hope there'll be another opportunity to do that when I'm in better shape. But I want to thank the congregation for bearing with me when I was ill for 3 years. I want to thank the elders and deacons that I've worked with over the years, and the whole congregation in particular, for your prayers for myself and for my family. And it has been a joy to see your prayers answered in each of our four children professing faith and coming into membership in this congregation at their various different times. I want to say that I, after tomorrow night, what happens in Kiratz will be out of my hands, but I want to be of whatever help I can be in the time between now and when I'm installed in Ballylagan. If I'm given the opportunity to continue to preach in Kiratz for a while, I will be willing to do that, but it won't be me that will make the arrangements. My time as minister is nearly over. Minister here, you will be blessed in hearing other men come to preach in the coming weeks and months, and from among those men who will come and preach, you will have the opportunity to call someone else to be your next minister. At the call presentation meeting, I said about how it was a bit like two seagulls fighting over a chip. On reflection, I thought that was maybe a bit too flattering to myself. I have a different picture in mind now for what this situation is like. In my household, when I was growing up, we didn't often have chocolates. It was a real treat when we had a box of milk tray, those cardboard boxes, two layers of chocolates, the same ones in the bottom layer as are in the top layer. And in our house, there was a rule that you could not go to the second layer until the first layer was cleared. And there was always one that's left as the last one. And I want you to think of me as that last chocolate. And Ballylagan has taken it away. And now the bottom layer is all yours. And you have the choice. The choice is a full choice. All the options are available to you. And God will direct in your thinking as to what direction to go in next in looking for another minister. Finally, and on a non-serious note, I will say that the clear winner of the prize for the person who has gone to the greatest length to persuade me to stay has to go to Robert Stevenson for setting himself on fire as an incentive for me to stay here in Kiratz. That was really going beyond the call of duty, Robert. But good try. But Robert has been very appreciative of my ministry here, and it's great to see him making the effort to be out today, and in spite of what has happened in recent times. So that is all I can say for now. And the meeting happens tomorrow night, 7:30 in Ballymoney. You are all welcome to attend. I will be saying some of the same things again. There'll be other things that I need to say to Presbytery and need to say to Ballylagan folk. But I'd be pleased if you're able to make it along, and I'll understand if it's not a meeting that you would want to be present at. We come now to the public worship of God. That took me longer than I thought it was. I will try to curtail my sermon today. We sing his praise from Psalm 48, stanzas 6 to 10. The tune is Newington 1-2-3, Psalm 48. In our God's city, we have seen what we before were told, that God, who is the Lord of hosts, will always it uphold. And the city of God, in the New Testament understanding, is the church of Jesus Christ, and God will always it uphold. We sing stanzas 6 to 10 to the tune 1-2-3, Psalm 48. Let's stand as we praise God and remain standing for prayer. Speak to God in prayer. Lord, our Father, we thank you for that love that you have for your church. We thank you that you will always it uphold. And we thank you that you have a great love for your people and that you will be our constant guide, even unto death itself. Lord, help us as we look to you today. Hear us in our prayers and draw near to us in our worship. Forgive us our sins, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's read from God's Word. Read from the book of Acts, chapter 20. Acts 20, and reading from verse 17. It's 988 is the page in the Pew Bible. This is the Apostle Paul speaking to the elders of the church in Ephesus. Acts 20, verse 17, from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, "You know from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews, how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And see, now I go, bound in the Spirit, to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And indeed, now I know that you all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God will see my face no more. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among whom the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. Then they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they would see his face no more. And they accompanied him to the ship. So reads God's word. We sing to his praise Psalm 139, first five stanzas, using the tune Holly, number 15. And Psalm 139, at the start of the psalm, we sing through to stanza 5, and we're reminded in stanzas 4 and 5 that wherever we go, the Spirit of God is with his people. Stanza 5, if I the wings of morning take, the sea's far side my dwelling make, even there your hand my guide will be, your right hand will take hold of me. And the Lord will have his hold upon his people wherever they are. Psalm 139, 1 to 5, the tune is number 15. Let us praise God.
Amen.
We worship God now as we return to Him our tithes and our offerings. We now join together in prayer. If you're able, please stand as we pray. Lord God in heaven, we look to you in our prayers now today. We return thanks to you for your goodness and faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, for our meeting a few days ago and for Reverend Gary Glasgow and how he testified to your working in his life. And we pray that you will use what was heard for great good in the lives of the many people who were able to attend. We pray, Lord, looking to you now at this time of impending vacancy, we pray for your wisdom for the session, for the interim moderator that will be appointed. Pray for this transition time and ask, O Lord, that you will continue to be at work, that you will build your church and strengthen your cause here. Give thanks, O Lord, for those who are able to be here today. We thank you, Lord, for preserving Robert and the accident that he had. And we give thanks that Anne's able to be back out again after hurting her back. We pray, Lord, for those who are not able to be among us today, that you'll be with them. Help them, O Lord, in their thoughts, and draw near to them and give them your comfort and assurance. We pray for the committee meeting to put together plans for the new friendship group and the congregation. We ask, Lord, for your blessing upon their time together. We continue to remember Mary and Amy in the remaining exams that they have, and we ask, Lord, for your help and the difficulties of revising with the weather being so nice, and just pray, Lord, that you will help them. We pray, Father, for the church in Collibaki. We thank you for the radio broadcast that's due to come from Collibaki next Lord's Day morning. Pray for all the preparations for that. We pray that many will listen to that, and pray for Philip Moffat as he preaches your word. Lord, you know our thoughts, and we pray that you will work in our hearts today and use your word for our good. Hear us now in these prayers, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We turn to God's word today. And I want to speak under the title of A Fond Farewell. I expect this is the last morning service that I will preach at as the minister of this congregation. It will be difficult for myself and my family to leave in due course. And today I wanted to preach on the passage of Scripture which I feel ties in best with my own thoughts and feelings at this time. It is the farewell address of the Apostle Paul to the elders of the church in Ephesus. He had been in Ephesus for nearly 3 years. It was the longest that he spent anywhere. In Acts 20, Paul is on his way to Jerusalem. It's not going to be a happy time for him in Jerusalem, but he feels compelled of God to go there. He calls the elders from the church to come 30 miles to a place called Miletus, where he meets with them. And in verses 18 through to the end of the chapter, we're told about the kind of things that Paul said to those elders at that time. Paul was going away. The elders weren't going to have him to consult with anymore. But Paul is confident that things will not fall apart because he's not there. And he believed there was a good future for the church and for the Lord's people in Ephesus, because he committed them into the hands of Almighty God. And I believe that the same is true for Kilrats. I want to speak, first of all, about learning from the past. And in these verses, Paul is seeking to help the elders to look to the future and to do so by reminding them of what has been important in his ministry in Ephesus. I'm not saying that the things that are true of the Apostle Paul are true of me, nor am I saying that our elders are the exact equivalent of the Ephesian elders, but this is the closest that I can think of in the Scriptures to a day like this. Paul reminds them, first of all, of his lifestyle. Verses 18 and 19, he reminds them that from his first day among them, he served the Lord with all humility and with many tears. He didn't come among them as one to be served, but he came to serve. And one of the ways that he showed that was by working with his own hands to meet his own needs and the needs of his fellow missionaries. He refers to that in verses 34 and 35. And Paul had sought to live out what the Lord Jesus taught, that it is more blessed to give than to receive. And the elders in Ephesus needed to have that mindset. They needed to believe it would be more blessed for them to give than to receive. And in a vacancy, the exemplary lifestyle of the elders is vitally important. A great weight of responsibility falls upon the men who are the elders in Karatz during a time of vacancy. Paul reminds of his lifestyle when he was among them. Secondly, he reminds them about his preaching. In verse 20, he says that he kept back nothing that was helpful. He proclaimed it to them. He taught them publicly and from house to house. In verse 27, he says, I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Preachers face the temptation of not preaching on certain things, not preaching on things that the Bible clearly teaches. And whether that is failing to preach what is true or failing to preach against what is false, that temptation is there. Paul could say that he had preached the whole counsel of God. He highlights also what was at the heart of his preaching. What was the center of the message that Paul brought? Verse 21, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Those things are fundamental to the gospel. Repentance and faith. Turning away from sin and believing instead and trusting instead in the Lord Jesus Christ. What are we like? We are like an old house that just needs to be knocked down and a new beginning made. And we all have deceitful hearts and we all think, oh, it doesn't really need to be knocked down. We can make a few renovations, we can make a few alterations, and God demands a rebuild. The old must go and the new must replace it. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are beyond renovation. We need recreation in Christ. And Paul faithfully preached the gospel, and the faithful preaching of the word remains essential for the well-being of the church. His lifestyle, his preaching, and then there was his pastoring. Paul saw himself as being a pastor or a shepherd, and in that he had been diligent. He says in verse 31, therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. He had sought to make people take the gospel seriously. And he can say in verse 26, therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. Paul could think of all the people in Ephesus, all those that were connected with the church in Ephesus, and he could think of no one who had failed to hear the gospel clearly from his lips. And what a challenge that is to anyone who's called to be a pastor or an elder today. So these are things that Paul looks back upon. These things have been vital in his ministry. Exemplary lifestyle, faithful preaching and diligent pastoring. And those things are important during a time of vacancy. Those things cannot be allowed to slip and go by the wayside. So Paul encourages the elders to learn from the past. But then in the second place, he is also looking to the future. The elders were concerned, no doubt, for the future of the church in Ephesus. But they were also concerned about the future of the Apostle Paul himself. What was going to become of Paul? And Paul addresses that issue, and he speaks, first of all, about Paul's future. Verses 22 to 24, that's what he's writing about. He is on his way to Jerusalem. He's not going on a holiday. He's not going on some nostalgia trip, remembering the good old days in Jerusalem. He says in verse 22, "And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem." He felt compelled by the Spirit of God to go there. He could do no other. And he went there knowing that life was going to be tough. He didn't know exactly in what way that would be the case. But he says in verse 23, "The Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me." And that's where he's going. He's going to where chains and tribulations await him. He's willing to face whatever hardships awaited him in Jerusalem. And why is he doing that? Because he's a follower of Jesus Christ. Luke 9:51, "When the time had come for him to be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem." Jesus knew exactly what awaited him at Jerusalem. He knew it was death on a cross that he was going there for. And Paul knew what kind of things awaited him in Jerusalem. And he knew that he had to go. He says in verse 24, "But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy, and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." And the elders in Ephesus, they needed to adopt the same attitude as the Apostle Paul for the future. They weren't to have self-preservation as their guiding thought. They weren't to make life easy for themselves, but they were to serve Christ and take whatever came with that territory. Paul speaks about his own future. He also speaks about the future work of the elders. Verse 28, he tells the elders how they are to see themselves. They are to shepherd. Their work is to shepherd the church of God. A few weeks ago, we were thinking at our communion on how we're all like sheep that have gone astray. And we've all turned, each one of us, to our own way. Paul says to the elders that they are shepherds. And he says, "Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among whom the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." And the elders are told that they need to keep watch over themselves, first of all. And then together, the elders needed to keep watch over all the flock. And only if the elders were strong and healthy within themselves and among themselves would they be able to help the weak and the needy within the flock. In a time of vacancy, the work of the local elders is all important. It is key to the future of the congregation. The elders in Ballylagan took that responsibility seriously. And those men have gone about that work with great diligence in the vacancy. And those of you who are elders here in the Church of Koratz, you need to step up to that mark. You need to work together and you need to give leadership to the flock of Christ here. You will have an interim moderator. The interim moderator cannot be with you very much at all. And God has raised you men up for such a time as this. And the Lord knew some years ago what the future held for Karatz, and he raised up four men to take on that work for what he knew was coming. Paul speaks also about future threats. The Lord revealed to Paul something of what lay ahead for the church in Ephesus. He warns that trouble will come from sources outside the church. Verse 29, he says, "For I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock." And today we might have concerns about the well-being of the church because of pressures coming from outside. Laws and regulations can change things greatly for churches in the future. But worse still, Paul writes about how there was going to be trouble from inside the church. And he says in verse 30, "Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves." And he warns that there will be division in Ephesus, that there will be false teaching in Ephesus, and it will arise from within their own ranks, that there will be those who will want to make a name for themselves, and they'll see that Paul has gone, and here's my opportunity. Now I can be the big man. And they'll seek followers from themselves, followers of themselves to take people away from following Christ. And Paul warns about it. The elders needed to be alert. Alert to these dangers. The elders weren't to assume that everything would just automatically go well. The focus in a vacancy, it needs to be right from the very outset. Otherwise, problems can arise very quickly. Future threats. But then also Paul writes about future hope. And it's important to see that it wasn't the elders who were Paul's ultimate hope of the work continuing in Ephesus. All pastors and all elders are mere men, and we have many failings. If we happen to do well in one thing, well, there'll certainly be other things where we'll not be doing so well. Look at verse 32, and you'll see where Paul is putting his trust. He says, "So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the work, to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." God is able. God is able to look after his saved people. Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. He is the chief shepherd, and he knows how to shepherd his flock. The under-shepherds can fall short in many things, but the chief shepherd will never fall short. Verse 28 reminds us that the church of God was purchased with his own blood. It was the blood of God the Son. Jesus Christ, God the Son, he gave up his life. He shed his blood unto death for his bride, the church. And those who love the Lord Jesus Christ love the people that Christ loves. The verses at the end of Acts chapter 20 are a very touching scene. There are prayers, there are tears, there are kisses and embraces. And the way that Jesus Christ loves the church is the way that we are called upon to love his church also. In the life of God's people here on earth, there are separations. And for Paul and the Ephesian elders, This was a time of separation. They were going back to Ephesus, and he was going to Jerusalem. In this life, there are separations. But forever, forever in the age to come, God's people will be together, and there'll be no separations, and there will be one people under God. And we will be his people, and he will be our God, and that's how it will be forever. There is much in these verses that speak of a fond farewell, and there are things within here I believe will be profitable for the elders here in Karatz to bear in mind in facing this new chapter, a chapter of vacancy within the life of the congregation. I have been blessed to have had the opportunity to serve here as minister. There haven't been many men who have been minister in Karatz RP Church. I thank God to have had the opportunity. I will be praying for the congregation, and I trust that you will continue to pray for me. At our last session meeting, there was a draft produced of the next prayer diary for Karatz RP Church, and there within the names was my own name, and I encouraged that whether I would stay or whether I would go, that name still be there. I will value the prayers of all of you as I face what is unknown to me, but fully known to God himself. And God has your future in his hands, and he has written the script, and his provision will be timely, and he will be praised for how he works during the vacancy in Karatz. Amen. Let's just speak to God in prayer. Our Father, we praise you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the scriptures. We thank you, Lord, that people in the scriptures have been through the kind of things that we go through in life, that there's always something there that we can look to that will help us in our thoughts and guide us in our ways. Lord, we ask for your working in our hearts today. Help us, O God, to think good thoughts, to think right thoughts, to think God-honoring thoughts. And we pray that most of all you will help us to put our hope and trust and confidence in you, to believe that our times are in your hands, and those hands of yours will direct our lives in the good paths. Hear us in this, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We sing in praise to God from Psalm 23. We sing the A version of the psalm. Tuna's resignation. Hope that wasn't deliberately chosen. 295, 23a. Psalm that speaks about the Lord, who is the shepherd of his people. He is our shepherd throughout all our days here in this world. Some of those days are pleasant, some of those days are difficult and challenging, but we are assured that his goodness and mercy will follow our days, all our days, and then we will dwell in the Lord's house always. Psalm 23a, the three stanzas of the psalm, Tunis 295. We stand to sing to God's praise and remain standing for the benediction, and then I will do the announcements at the close of the service.
Peace.
receive God's blessing. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and fellowship of God the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. There was no announcement sheet on the way in today, but there is an announcement sheet on the way out today. I wanted to communicate my decision to you in my own words rather than on a piece of paper. This evening, the prayer meeting is at 7:10, and then the evening worship service at 7:30, and then the session will meet briefly after the service. The new missionary prayer letter for June, July, and August is available today. There's also some copies of the Northern Presbytery financial reports that are on the table. Tomorrow evening at 7:30 in Ballymoney, the Northern Presbytery meets, and at that meeting I will be asked to give my response to the Ballylagan call, which I intend to accept, and I will give my reasons, and I will address a few words to Karatz and to Ballylagan and to the Presbytery. Everyone is welcome to attend that meeting, as was the case with the meeting when the call was presented. Our elder, representative elder, will be Elliot. I think if it's the same as last time there was such an equivalent meeting, someone from Karatz will be asked to say a few words and someone from Ballylagan to say a few words. The presbytery will formally dissolve the pastoral tie between myself and the Karatz congregation, so I'll enter the building as the minister of Karatz, and I'll not be the minister of Karatz when I leave. The presbytery will appoint, I expect, an interim moderator for the vacancy in Karatz, and it'll be up to the interim moderator and the session to make arrangements for the future in regard to future pulpit supplies and whatever. I don't know what those will be. The session were due to meet on Tuesday evening at 8:00, and hopefully that can go ahead with one moderator or another chairing the meeting. Thursday evening, the Women's Fellowship have a walk in Ballycastle, open to any of the ladies of the congregation of any age, meeting at the play park at the seafront at 7:30. Church cleaning rota for this week is Anne Robinson. Next Lord's Day, Sabbath school classes at 11, the morning prayer time and evening prayer times, the usual times, and the services at the usual times, and whether it'll be me preaching, the new interim moderator preaching, or somebody else preaching, I don't know. That won't be my decision, so I just can't say. Cullibacky have a coffee morning on Saturday, and also there's a radio broadcast from Cullibacky next Sabbath morning. That's immediately after the 10:00 news on Radio Ulster. Philip Moffat is due to preach, and Johnny Fitzsimons is due to lead the service. The next Women's Fellowship meeting, it was agreed that the meetings would be the third Thursday in June, and that's Thursday the 15th of June at 8:00. There is a free book on the table for all of the ladies in the congregation, and the names are on them. And it's the first chapter in that book that will be form part of the meeting on the 15th of June. There'll be other things happening at that meeting. And if you're not able to come to the meeting, do please take the book and read it, so that you know what other people are going to be talking about, so that everybody gets the benefit of that, of just reading what's in that. Then there's a Northern Presbytery CY event. And this is coming up on Saturday, the 17th of June. It's a team challenge night. It's here at Karatz from 7:30 to 9:30. That's for year 8 and above. And then I've also put in the announcements the pulpit supplies that I had arranged for when I would be on holidays during the summer. 18th of June, Malcolm Ball. 25th of June, Tom McKendry. Then the 9th of July, Reverend Gary Glasgow and I had arranged to do a pulpit swap where I would preach in Armagh and then in First Carats, and he would be here in Carats. That's just for the morning, and hopefully that can go ahead, but I can't guarantee that. Then in July, the 16th of July, Tim Donaghy, and the 23rd of July, our Japanese RP pastor, Yusuke Hirata. So those are dates that I had already arranged people for when I was intending to be on holidays. I assume those will probably still stand, and as time goes on, there'll be a list of who the intended preachers are over the coming weeks. So those are the announcements for today. I'm not intending to stand inside today. I'm not going to force you to speak to me. You'll probably not know what to say. So I'll go outside, and you can. I'm happy to speak to people, but I'm not forcing you to speak to me today. So you can come to me. It's nice out there, and I'll not be too far away from the door. So I leave the announcement sheets there on the vestibule table, and I did a few extra ones. You can take one with you, and remember, the ladies, if you have not already got your free book, to find yours and take it with you. And there's the Presbytery financial reports and the missionary prayer letter also. So various different things on the table today.